Welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Coins Plus has been doing business for a few years and like a couple decades, and we're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of everything that has to do with precious metals and coins and precious stones and diamonds. I like to think of it as miniature, compact, transportable real estate. That's actually the way I look at it, because real estate's also a fixed commodity. You only have so much of. And the problem with real estate is it's kind of hard to transport, right? You can't exactly pick it up and take it with you. Another problem with real estate is you got to pay taxes on it. Another problem with real estate is you got to pay to maintain it. And another problem with real estate is if you want to rent it out, if you think you're buying income property, nobody ever calculates for vacancy. And they don't realize and that, you know, there's the wear and tear and all this kind of stuff. I was just talking with a good, very close relative recently about that. And they were admiring somebody who would buy a house, live in it a while, and then find a way to buy another house and rent the old one out. When I began to explain to him the math of that, it was pretty easy to show that the person who was doing the leapfrog rentals was actually not making a profit. By the time you calculate in average maintenance and upkeep, you know you're going to have to replace a roof every now and then, you're going to have to repaint every now and then, and so on and so forth. And if you figure maintenance and upkeep at 3% a year, which is probably conservative, and then you figure taxes in Spokane are almost 2% a year, that's 5. You figure time value of money, is another 5%. You could easily sell the property at a 5% rate. Or if you've got money borrowed anywhere at 5%, then you could technically sell that property and pay it off. So that brings you up to 10%, and so on and so forth. The point I'm getting at is just because a lot of people will have a rental property, and they say, well, you know, the rent pays my mortgage, so I'm really building equity. But no, you're not. You're actually just paying the bank a lot of interest, and you're paying to maintain it, and every once in a while. And plus, you got to have insurance on it. You know, I miss that part. There's plenty more things to consider when you go into it. Now, people that have extraordinary amounts of money will buy property to lease out or rent out. But what they're doing is they're paying it off or keeping themselves relatively debt-free on it and using it as an opportunity to receive a return on their investment. If you're going to get into investment real estate, the best way to do it is commercial real estate. But the problem is it takes a lot of dough to play that game. So that's a problem too. If you look back over the last, 47 years or whatever, at the long-term performance of precious metals, silver's gone from whatever it is, 85 cents to 18 bucks, or it's been as high as 50 almost. But even now, if you figure it's up 2,500% over 45 years, you can do the math. You take 2,500% divided by 45 years, you're still averaging 50% per year. If you want to know the compounded rate on that, you just divide that by 2. So you're getting a compounded rate probably around 20, 22% over 47 years. That's not too shabby. When you're looking at gold, you're basically all the way down at 35 bucks an ounce. And then now we're at, 1,300. So you're looking at, with gold, it's even a little bit better. It's about 4,000% over 40-some years. You're averaging, that's 47 years, folks. And there's nothing tricky about this. I can go back to 20 years and do the same thing. 4,000% return on gold over 47 years. I say 47, and here's why. Really, I think the proper date's probably 1971 when Nixon deregulated metals, okay? We were on a gold standard until that time, hypothetically, and then they deregulated the metals so you could have freedom of ownership and do whatever you wanted with it in the United States in any form. So that's why you go back 46 years to the deregulation. And you'll find that it's 4,000% gain in 46 years, which is a lot, right? That's like 85, 90% a year. You want to know the compounded rate, you know, divide that in half. You got 40%, something like that. In the long run, coins and metals will far outperform anything out there. There's one of the largest independent third-party grading service. By the way, if you want to reach Coins Plus, it's simple. In Spokane, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website alwayscoinsplus.com. One of the larger independent third-party grading services for coins, called PCGS, has a number of long-term investment indexes, the charts that we can pull. And over the same period of time that we just discussed on metals from the 70s until now, 71, when metals were deregulated, over that same period of time, rare coins have gone up phenomenally, about the same, about 4,000%, 40-fold. And you're like, well, how do you know that? Well, I mean, they have what's called the 3,000 index. And basically what they did back then is they picked 3,000 different coins. And trust me, folks, that's a lot of categories. I mean, that's digging, that's reaching deep into the infrastructure of the numismatic market. So they picked 3,000 items, and they've tracked them over 40 years, 47, 46, whatever it is. They're averaging, they've done about a 4,000% return in that same period of time. Now, I guarantee you, if you go back and you start looking at other forms of investments, you're individually, that you could buy that makes sense, you're not going to see that return. If you go back and you look at the Dow, for example, the Dow from that same era would show a pretty good return, or not as good. I'll try to figure out what it is. But there's a trick to that. You say, well, geez, you know, I'm going to try to go back and see what it was at that time. But basically you say, well, you know, the return on the Dow over that period of time is not terrible. The Dow's a lie. You can't own the Dow, folks. You can think you do. So here I go back to, 19, there's 83. What in the world is this? This can't even be right. Dow Jones 100-year historical chart. They must've changed the way they, cause it's showing like, very high numbers. I guess that's right. That's insane. Back around the time we're talking, the Dow Jones shows at 6,000 to 7,000, and now it's at 8. It's at 20, so it's gone up like 300%. I don't know, folks. I'd have to do a little deeper research. Those numbers look fishy to me. But basically, the moral of that story is pretty simple, right? You basically have coins and metals at the 4,000% level. Yeah, I did I just checked another site. Yes, that's the case. The Dow over 40 some years, folks, it is only gone up about 300 and some percent over 40 some years, 300 and some percent. Now, I don't have time right now, but the reason I was going to say you can't own it is because they remove and replace stocks. So even though the Dow's gone up 300 and some percent in 40 some years, and metals and coins have gone up 3,500 to 4,000% over that same period of time. First of all, as a side note, why on God's earth would you want a paper investment that is just so inundated with risk? You send your money off to who? and it goes where? You don't know. And there it sits. And some big Wall Street hotshot has your money, and he chooses to invest it however he feels. Some people say, no, that's not true. I'm a day trader. Okay. So you buy a stock in Corporation XYZ. How much control do you have over what Corporation XYZ does with your money? None. None at all. In fact, you get paid loss last. In fact, what you're doing is you're betting on man when you do that. When you buy metals and coins, you are betting on God because he told you in the Bible, this is the way you do it. It's very clear. He created it. I mean, think about it. I've talked about this. Genesis chapter 2. He's going to gold, telling you where to get it, and telling you it's good. It's the greatest good word in the Bible, the greatest word for good, period. By Genesis 2? That's kind of important. And then throughout the whole history of the Old Testament, what are they doing? You know, every time they win, he says, take the gold and silver and jewels and everything. They're mine. And then the temple, the second temple, you know, the temple is just bedecked, caked, loaded with gold beyond your wildest dreams, isn't it? All the way up to, you know, Christ comes to earth. What does God do? He sends wise men with gold. Give him gold. He's my son. He gets gold. That's good stuff, you know. And then it tells us we're casting the gold and silver in the streets on the final days. He uses gold as the example of refinement and purity and excellence, and he uses it the best. And then he tells us it's all over heaven, everywhere. So that's God's side. Man's side is the product of debt. It's the product of Keynesian economics. It's the product that says it's okay to borrow. There's no limit. Your limit on borrowing in this world, folks, should be operated two ways. First, you choose when to cap it. Second, someone else chooses for you. What do I mean by that? You know, self-control and limitation. You might go, oops, I borrowed too much on my credit card. I got to pay it off, and you control it. Other people, and trust me, from being in banking, I've seen it too much. They'll just keep borrowing until the banks just say no more. And then they're in hock up to their neck, you know. And our system has become this way severely, where everyone is just inundated and loaded with debt. And folks, trust me, it is, I mean, it depends on your integrity, but it's bad. It's harsh. It's hard on you. It hurts. It makes people worry. It makes people sad. It makes people, they know they're at the liberty of someone else. You could have a million-dollar home and only owe $120,000 on it, and the bank can come and take it away because you owe the money. If you don't pay it, it's not yours. And so, you know, our system has become completely debt-laden. So now what is stock? Stock is essentially, you think, oh, no, I'm buying a little tiny microscopic piece of a company. Well, okay, so what are they doing with the money? You're loaning them the money. People don't realize that. Why do companies go public? They go public so they can get a whole bunch of money, so the owner and everybody can get a whole bunch of money, and they can start expanding like crazy. And a lot of times, if a company has a big name like Amazon, they keep getting more and more venture capital, so they go out and spend the money, and they buy things like Whole Foods. The problem is, we're creating huge conglomerates, huge monopolies that are run by non-believers. Companies like Amazon, as I said, they're picking up Whole Foods for $14 billion. They're, you know, this food, water, information, products, this is all under big control. I mean, we're getting corporations that are starting to control this stuff. We need to think heavily about it. When you invest in paper, anything, you really are investing in man. It goes all the way back. The Keynesian economic system, debt, debt, debt. That's why the Roaring Twenties, because all the debt came out and companies got loaded in it, and up and up and up they went. And then when the plug was pulled and the banks got uncomfortable and they retracted the currency, which means they said, okay, we're tightening up our credit standards. And a lot of times what happens in commercial loans is they have renewal dates. Well, they wouldn't renew, or they didn't like what they saw, or they were dirty. And trust me, folks, there's in his history of this in other countries, there's a deep, rich history of corrupt banks intentionally calling notes due just so that specific reasons so that they could confiscate somebody's farm or ranch or property. That's the other risk you run with debt. Now, we've got relatively decent consumer protection laws in this country, but not good enough. And then there's people that go out and borrow, and won't pay back. They're deadbeats. There's a big difference between someone hitting a bump in the road and either working through it or getting out of the asset, getting out of the debt, short selling a home or whatever, and the person who tries to sit there as long as they can and not pay for it and fight the system and feel sorry for themselves and say it's not fair. If you want to do that, you should listen to MSNBC or watch MSNBC on TV. Because it's the socialist news network, and it has less than a 2% market share. But that's their mentality. It's this whole thing about we're owed everything. This debate over health care that's going on, I'll touch on that in a minute, is ridiculous too. But my point is simple, folks. You either do what the Bible says, and you get into hard assets, precious metals-based assets, like I said, gold and silver, but that includes the coin industry as well. It's all intermingled. It's all commingled fully. And it's easy to watch. It's alive and well. It's well-capitalized, and it's where you're going to find true wealth. True wealth is in owning an asset, a liquid hard asset. Not only have these assets lasted timelessly for 5,000 years on Earth, okay, but not only have they lasted timelessly, they have never lost their wealth. There's no exception. There's no time when they lost their spending power or their ability as wealth. Paper, anything, has dissolved and been destroyed over and over and over. You go back to Rome, go back to Greece, go back to the Ottoman Empire. You can't even find remnants of it. You can't even find evidence of paper money. They had it. They had stock certificates, fiat currency. This isn't a new idea. But the men that created our economic system, they know darn well what they're doing. They're wealthy at a level that no one can even fathom. Beyond your wildest dreams. Absolutely beyond anything you can comprehend. And when you own paper, that's what you're doing. When you own hard assets, you're not enriching another. But what's ironic is when you own hard assets, you're enriching society because you're not feeding the debt system. The Bible says that debt consumes the very soul of a man. It also says the debtor is servant to the lender, slave. Even our Federal Reserve System, every dollar that comes out of there is backed by debt. Every dollar is backed by a dollar of debt. Now, it's interesting in Revelations 18, and I know it's Revelation, the Revelation, but I have a tendency to say Revelations. Anyway, it says in there, speaking of Mystery Babylon, come out of her, my people. What does that mean? It's discussing all the lavish luxury. And you know what's interesting is throughout the Bible, there is interesting scriptures you just cannot overlook. And one is in particularly in Proverbs 24, where the Bible talks about this. It says, so first it says, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. So obviously that's clear. Don't envy evil men or desire to be with them. Simple, right? For their minds devise violence and their lips talk of trouble. Now, here we go. 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Think about what this is saying. It's saying, by wisdom, the wisdom of God, knowledge, a house is built, okay? That's building your home, making it a home. Number two, by understanding, it's established, okay? So a deeper understanding, a comprehension is what gives it the foundation, okay? That it says, the word for understanding is tabun in Hebrew, tabun, and it means intelligence. It's a faculty of understanding, deep insight, object of knowledge. In some cases, it says, it refers to like a teacher. And it says that when it says it's established, the word is kun in Hebrew, and it means it's set up or firmly fixed. It's secure. It's enduring. Okay. So all these words are relevant. By wisdom, I hope by now know what wisdom is. It's chokma in Hebrew, which means it's wisdom, it's skill, it's shrewdness, it's prudence, it's ethics, it's a religious concept, it's skill, it's wisdom, it's wise, you got it. So by being skillful and brilliant and wise, you build your home. By being intelligent, you can establish it and build a foundation. But then it says, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge in Hebrew is dahath, which means, it actually means knowledge, to know. It means to be cunning, to be wise, to be unwitting, to be aware, perceptive, skillful, discernment, it says, so to be discerning. And, I think that's kind of interesting because I obviously am a collector, right? And our house is filled with cool stuff. I mean, it's just filled with cool stuff. We go around the world. We've been to a lot of crazy antique shows. I've bought cool collections. I have all kinds of incredible stuff from, whether it's Japan or Victorian England or, all kinds of China and hutches and guns. And that, in a way, is what God's saying. God puts us here, folks. Let me make something clear. And this is so hard for people. God created us in his image. God creates. You have to understand the end game on earth before you can appreciate the process. And the process is the key, but the end game is the non-negotiable. So basically, it's, once you understand that you have to deal with your salvation, that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins, that God wants you to be prosperous, he wants you to be successful and happy, and I'm not preaching health and wealth here, folks. I'm saying God, there's preachers out there that tell you it's guaranteed and all this. God can do whatever he wants, but do you really think God, people object to it. Do you really think God wants you to be miserable and bad at what you do? No way. God wants you to glorify him. And you glorify him by maximizing your talents and your abilities. And it's important to do that. Now, financially, I've had a big experience in it, a lot of experience. When I meet a Christian man who starts babbling about stocks and bonds or if he's a broker, I instantly know that he doesn't have wisdom. And that may be harsh, but I've spent lots of times with these people. They don't have wisdom. They might be godly. They might love God. They might have a real simplistic mentality. They may have a wisdom in certain areas of their life. I shouldn't say they don't have wisdom at all, but they don't have wisdom in finance. They're either greedy, or they've got a broken habit they can't stop, or they're selling the stuff or whatever. God says, by wisdom, A house is filled, or by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We have to realize that that's true wealth, always have been. If we get the mentality that we're smarter now, people, I know people are out there saying, well, that was then. That was a long time ago. Folks, when you think that way, you are thinking as an evolutionist because you're thinking that man is smarter now than he was then. Evidence shows to the contrary. So much of the architectural and tools and even land alteration that was taking place back then cannot be duplicated today. Necessity is the mother of invention. Men were able and are able to do incredible things then and now, okay? But paper money, fiat currency, you think that people that had huge amounts of gold never thought, boy, it'd be a lot easier if I could just carry a piece of paper and keep my gold locked up? Well, of course they did. That's nothing new. So they did do that. The difference is when you have all your money backed by a precious metal or a hard asset, or I don't care what it is, you know, all numismatic coins, which people sometimes are leery of, that is actually what backed all of our paper money back in the day. And that's what made it so valuable now and over time is because they're a lot more scarce. They're cool. They're amazing. You know, it's what made the system work. If it's backed by metals, there is no inflation. There is no borrowing. You either have it or you don't. Then the problem became some of the banks went south. They began to issue more notes than they had material to back it and so on. And they began to loan more than they could back, or they didn't get enough collateral or whatever. It always ends up the same way. I'm just trying to keep it very simple for you folks. We do biblical portfolios. We're very immersed in this industry. We've got a lot of cool stuff I've gone through recently that's semi-numismatic. What that means is basically you're buying it as like a silver product. But the market has a lull in a lot of these products right now because everybody's retardedly jumping on the Dow Jones bandwagon, which will scorch them. So everyone's jumping on that. And so collectible coins and even metals, they've laid steady. The nice thing is about numismatic and semi-numismatic is a lot of the premiums have cooled off considerably. So you can pick up old silver coins in very nice condition and really stuff you don't get. I've done some sorting lately out of our vaults of items that have been around a very long time that are basically my own private holdings. We have rolls of very nice, like, uncirculated war nickels. During the war years from 1942 to 1945, we believe it or not, we made nickels out of silver. And the reason was because they wanted the copper out of them, the bronze, to build weapons, to build shells for guns and things like that. So they actually found that silver was, at the time, less desirable than copper and bronze because of the war effort. So for four very short years, they made a war nickel, and the mintages on them are lower. Well, they obviously tarnish and look really bad, and they end up getting remelted, and they're really scarce to find in nice shape. And I've got a scad of them that I've saved up for a very, very incredibly long time that I've sorted into tubes, and I've also have original uncirculated rolls. That kind of stuff is good for an investment portfolio. It's exceptional because it's got the silver value, which is what you buy it at, basically. But the upside's crazy. We have a real nice selection left, I believe, of nice $10 gold Indian head designed by Augustus St. Gaudens, who created, obviously, the St. Gaudens 20, the most famous and beautiful coin, some argue, the U.S. Mint's ever made. He also made an absolutely stunning $10 gold piece, one of my favorite coins of gold, and they just got overlooked because his $20 was so phenomenal. And so we have a group of those, maybe a dozen or 16 or something, I don't know, somewhere left That's a great opportunity for investing. That's the gold side. We have Walking Liberty silver half dollars in nicer quality, like what we call extra fine or better. I have some that are before 1933. The pre-1933 coinage, Walking Liberties, are very rare in decent condition because they were, before the Depression, money never stopped moving 24/7. Change would literally go hand to hand into the till of a business. At night, it hit the stagecoach, get either transported to another business or back to the bank, get counted, put back in the system, and the next morning it'd be out moving around again. It just never stopped, hardly ever. And so pre-33 stuff's hard to find. We get a lot of coins, but we do hand select out the nicer stuff. And then it's not, I'm not talking high collectibles. I'm talking nice examples that we can sell in and around their silver value, but with great upside potential based on their scarcity. We also have nice little short collections of things like 1941 to 47 Walking Liberties and all that stuff. We can do all kinds of things. Of course, we always specialize in dollars. All that stuff goes into portfolios. We have a whole balance system that we use. And, of course, there's always gold eagles, silver eagles, all that kind of stuff everybody's perfectly familiar with. You can jump into that at any time. It's very simple. So, essentially, you want to do what God says to do biblically. It's very, it's just, to me, it's crystal clear wise. You know, it's man's way or God's way. And you need to take your pick. Which side do you want to be on? Which side do you think is going to hold true? Which side do you think is right? You know, where do you want to put your faith? Do you have greed? Do you say, oh, that's just a bunch of hoopla. We're way past that now. We're so much better and smarter. And but if you look around at the state of pretty much almost every country on earth, are we past that? I mean, just because we lead the economic system globally, which is also just inundated, saturated with confusion and manipulation, doesn't mean we got it right. It just means that right now we're leading the helm. I've also discussed the fact that we've got such an interesting time going on where we've got the Muslims basically executing their 20-year, seven-stage process towards world domination. They believe they're heading into stage seven now. It is so unbelievably accurately predicted when you read it that you would literally believe it was written after the fact, telling of what had already happened. But it has not. It was not. It's a spiritual plan. We're in a spiritual battle. And there's a possibility that the Muslims, who I believe worship the devil, for the most part, or at least the devil's religion, there's a possibility that they're more spiritually in tune than most Christians. And why do I say that? Well, they obviously are getting very solid prophetic leadership from whoever it is they're following, from their God. And I'm telling you, like I said, the accuracy of their prophetic leadings is phenomenal. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. And it's happening to us as we speak. Trump is also the right man to fit the slot of what they want to do next. Ironically, I think it was stages 4 and 5. They needed somebody exactly like Obama who would kick back. You know, people don't realize all he did. Obama did so much for the advancement of Islam in the Middle East. I mean, everything. You know, from the Benghazi mess. You know, the reason Benghazi was why they tried so hard to keep it a secret was because there was 31 or 61, I can't remember the number, CIA agents in an annex in Benghazi when we were attacked, when our ambassador was attacked. They didn't want to come out of hiding. What were they doing there? They were, believe it or not, they were transferring all of the weapons that we had confiscated from the murder of Muammar Gaddafi. Not only did we murder him, we did it in a very heinous, inhumane, terrible way. We set him up to be destroyed by his own people. But this was a man who'd made an agreement with us. And folks, we have to realize, when it comes to the Middle East, they're not us. Their world is very different than ours. We can't judge them and try to get them to live our system and live out our life. They just don't want the democracy like we have it or like we call it. They just don't. It's not in the cards for them. And so when we try to force that on them, we're just creating problems. The Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, who knows what Gaddafi actually did that made Hillary so mad. But Obama was very, very driven and motivated. Obama furthered the cause of the Muslim Brotherhood to irreparable levels, okay? They've taken over very solid pieces of the Middle East. Of course, we destroyed Libya. So in Benghazi, what we were doing is transferring all the missiles and heavy artillery to Syria that we'd confiscated in Libya. This was under the orders of Obama. This is also why Obama fired 9 generals. He would sit down and talk with them. They would not embrace and adopt his basic Muslim theology. He'd even ask them if they were willing to shoot on American citizens. They'd say no. This happened. All 9 of them testified to this. They'd say no, and he'd fire them until he must have found guys that would go along just to be there or to get the title or whatever it was. But that's pretty sad. I think you'd all agree. It's pretty pathetic when someone sells their soul for title and position, or they're just lacking morality, or they think, hey, just follow orders, boss. You know, it's not my responsibility. Oh, yes, it is. When you start to break God's laws, when you start to lie, cheat, and steal, or murder, or commit adultery, or whatever it is, you are breaking God's laws, and you're accountable, even if someone else is telling you to do it. You work for the drug cartel, and you do their dirty work. You can't say, hey, I'm just following the boss. You know, it's not me. Doesn't work like that, folks. You're accountable for that stuff. And so, you know, Obama found some generals, but he basically got Libya. He got Hosni Mubarak deposed in Egypt and replaced by Morsi, who was an absolute rack job. But the problem is we gave him, what, 18, you know, $35 million helicopters and jets and, you know, all kinds of this stuff. Why was Obama doing this? Do you see Trump doing that? No way. Obama's over there giving him this stuff. And then they shoot down our Navy SEALs, 26 of them in Afghanistan, and we do nothing? I mean, folks, we have a problem. Bad, at least, and we're left with the residue of Obama. We're left with a weakened millennial generation, a wimpy generation that all they care about is me and my feelings. Everything they do is based on emotion. They don't even, if they don't answer their phone and leave it shut off, it's because it's too inconvenient. They don't want to be courteous to other people. It's a total different thought process that goes on there. And it's all okay among themselves. They think it's all okay. So obviously Obama did some serious assistance in helping Syria build up ISIS. This is also why Obama drew the red line before the world to look tough and then didn't follow through on Assad in Syria after he was gassing his people with nerve gas, because he believed they were wrong and they were terrorists and they were rebels. It's pretty weird when Assad calls them terrorists, because maybe they did do something bad, but then he goes and kills women and children and everything. So long story short here, folks, we really are for sure settled in the end times. The magic carpet is when, okay? We know that the generation that sees the regathering of Israel shall not pass away till the Son of Man comes back, okay? We also know there's what's called the fourth turning. Every fourth generation recycles foolishness. We don't learn from our history. We just don't. So you get one generation that is the 60s hippies type generation. Then you get the next generation, which is the you know, the 80s, hardworking generation. And then, you know, you go up to the 2000s, the millennials, and you basically cycle. It's called the fourth turning. Every fourth generation repeats itself. Well, we've got, you know, and those come about every 82, 81 years. So you got the Civil War. Then you got World War II. If you go back and do the math, it's pretty interesting how that stuff all comes together during the 80-year cycles. You've got the creation of America in the 1780s, the rebellion of the strong. You've got the Civil War in the 1860s, rebellion of the strong. You've got World War II in the 1940s, 80 years later, rebellion of the strong. So what comes next? 80 years from World War II is in the 2020s. That may sound a while from now, but it's not that far away. You look at the plans pre-written by Islam, by the Muslims, of what they plan to have coming. They have got to have world war underway in order to introduce or to have their Mahdi, their Messiah, basically introduced or appear or manifest or whatever he's going to do. It's got to happen. So their plans want to force world war. They have to have mass chaos to get this done. And when people say they don't, you know, believe the Quran, the peaceful Muslim thing, folks, is a dangerous thing. You need to really think about it because it's directly contradicting what their scriptures say. Their scriptures are profoundly obvious. So you just kind of be careful about that. And back to what, you know, the basic financial responsibility, fiscal responsibility. You know, what's happened now is economics, politics, and religion have all become intermingled, commingled. People who say they're not are, again, like I was saying earlier, ignorant. Folks, stockbrokers in general, and I've seen my share. In fact, I made some mistakes by believing that there was such a thing as a Christian broker, which there is, but who, you know, told me that a very close personal friend's wife, a friend who died's wife, he assured me he'd take great care of her money. She wanted to do some stocks. She'd done a tremendous amount of with us in metals and especially coins and whatnot. And so I rolled the dice I shouldn't have, and I let her go that route. And it was bad. She just took a huge bath, and then all of a sudden he spun and said, hey, it's her fault. He said that after she'd taken a beating for a year and a half or 2 years, and I mean a beating, when she finally said, I got to get out of this, he said, well, it's your fault you lost the money because you pulled out. It's your fault you lost the money because you quit. And it's like, are you serious? But this is the psychology they throw, especially at a widow. It's very, you know, they need a helping hand. They need that solidity. They need that firmness. And that's why Christ was so clear about how we treat our widows and orphans. They don't have that natural protection, that natural security. And you owe it to them as a believer. You've got to reach out to orphans and widows. You've got to, folks. They need it. And until you've gone through a death of a severely close person, you just don't understand. It's a big loss. So anyway, we talked a little bit about metals and what's going on, you know, what you should be doing and where your money should be. Folks, be wise. You know, anyone knows the time to buy is when value exists. This is the time to buy. Value exists. It's just a great time. Things go in cycles. And even so, when you're buying now numismatic and semi-numismatic coins, they will continue to climb. Independent of metals. When metals go, they run like wildfire. But even if metals don't, they continue to climb and rise. And, you know, without overcomplicating things, folks, I've talked about it recently. Number one, if you have a 401k or IRA, we can convert that into metals for you quick and easy. It's a cakewalk. Number two, if you've got a nest egg sitting around that you really, you just want to park it, you want to do good with it, you want to store it and build wealth, we have you covered there. Just come in, see us, give us a heads up you're coming in, let us know how much you're bringing in, and don't try. Folks, when one way, you know, it's if you're coming in with cash now and then, that's fine. But, you know, people will do things that are silly. They will want to avoid a $10,000 expenditure, not because our customers are drug dealers, just because they'd prefer not having reports with the IRS. The first thing I'll tell you is the reports to the IRS aren't that big of a deal. They're basically holding on to them, looking for future behavior, like if they arrest someone for drug dealing or they need more research, et cetera. Secondly, you can't do what's called structuring. In other words, if you're trying to hide $10,000 cash without getting reported, first of all, I wouldn't even worry about it. You just get a cashier's check or bring in whatever amount of cash you want. Cash is always best. But the point is people will come in with like, we just had a guy come in with like $3,000 cashier's checks. Well, that's called structuring. So basically you got to understand that there are laws that, you know, prohibit that. And I won't get into my opinion of them. I think they're an absolute immoral, unethical, unconstitutional violation of your private space. When they created the $10,000 cash law, it was created under the RICO Act, the Racketeering Act, in 1934 as a way to get rid of, you know, racketeering type stuff, organized crime. However, in 1934, as FDR said, if a man is carrying upon himself enough cash to buy a palatial estate, the government has a right to know. Now, they still don't have a right to know, but the point is that $10,000 cash back then would buy you a palatial estate, according to his standards. And I do believe that's true. What if you could see what you could get for 10 grand in the 30s, especially during the Depression, you'd be like, wow, you know. So they put that law in. That law has what they call regulatory creep. Because we are faced with inflation, you need to understand inflation that you accept as a normal part of everyday life is a lie. It's because we're on the fiat currency system. And I spoke on Friday about, you know, what an economic collapse could look like, what could cause it, you know, and I basically told you everything is teetering in this country. We are sitting here on so much debt and so much, you know, any kind of minor movement one way or the other, just a run on the banks, just when people freak out and run on the banks. There is heavy manipulation, folks, but it doesn't change what God said. Metals have been manipulated in prices using futures. Back in like 11, there was a run on the metals, and then they began to mess with the futures to short the contracts and make people stop and, you know, convince them to do other things with their money, their metal, and it stopped at that point. But it wasn't a natural market. A free market will eventually destroy paper assets. And when you have people say, I want an ETF, that's an exchange-traded fund. That's where you send money somewhere and you tell that somewhere that they tell you that you have gold. You have X dollars in gold. GLDR, gold reserve or whatever, I can't remember. Anyway, the major gold ETF, GLD or whatever it is, they've had so many bookkeeping problems. They give no accounting of what they have or what they don't have anymore. They've got far, far, far more contracts than they do metals, etc. So long story short, the point of owning metals is immediate liquidity, anonymity, transportability. It's not to own it as just as a speculation. If you want it just as a speculation, you still should own the physical. It's compact. It's easy to hide. If you don't want to haul it or take the risk, we've got depository service. We can sell you for $60 a year. And you can get literally in a box for $60 a year, you can get millions and millions of dollars. I know you don't probably have that, but I'm just saying it's a good value for what you get. Okay. And so you don't have to worry about hauling around. You buy it, you stash it, you put it away. There's a lot of items that are doing well and will do terrific. And that's our point. We build portfolios. We will literally build for you what collectors spend years trying to accumulate because we buy these estates, we buy these collections. We're very respected. We're very knowledgeable. We are your eyes and your ears. That is so important to let us be your eyes and your ears, to not just come in and say, I want this and that. I understand there are certain things that you feel like you can, you know, keep simple, but you want to balance it out. It depends. If you're in and out in 6 months, sure, we're going to go one way. If 6 years, another way. 12 years, another way. Kids' college education, another way. You know, whether it's a retirement account, another way. We do this, but we do want to know what you have, what you've had before, you know, what's your portfolio now. We want to know these things before we make decisions, you know, on what to give you. I've had people ask me so many times that I can't even remember them all, but I've had people ask all the time, what is the best investment right now? Well, it doesn't work like that because it really does depend on you. And that's why we kind of have an investor, an outline worksheet that gives you gives us an idea of what you're already holding and what your goals are and things like that, so that we can get you exactly what will serve and meet your purposes the best. And that's what's important to us. You know, just to kind of bounce. So basically, to leave that there a little bit, just understand, folks, biblically, if you want to be biblically sound, you just buy portfolios. Ours are very well balanced. They're not just all, you know, heavily weighted in one in silver or gold, or, you know, they're balanced based on the time. Right now, we see tremendous value in the metals, and so our portfolios are going to be a little more weighted in the metals. But you know, when the metals were really kind of running on their cycle, getting real strong around 2012-13, we converted a lot of people from their metals into coins. And then when the coins get strong, which the last time before that was 2007, we pulled them out of the coins into metals. We will do that. And I mean, I have clients that I have literally done incredible things for, put into platinum, you know, at 400 an ounce, pulled them out at about 2300 an ounce, put them into $20 gold pieces. Of course, this was years back, but put them into 20. And the reason I'm telling about this is because it's millions of dollars. Put them into $20 gold pieces at the time, which were all, you know, $700 each. Now, or by the time they finally liquidated those, they were up to over $2,000 each. And then we used the money from those to buy certain coins because there was good value, etc. We will do this for you. So just allow us to, you know, bring in a check, let us build your portfolio. Everybody always gets all their stuff. There's never any problems. There are other dealerships out there that do have problems. We never have. Northwest Territorial in Seattle went bankrupt for $38 million. Hans Tolving, one of the largest bullion dealers that I've ever known of, went bankrupt for something like $60 million. Even the guy out in Coeur d'Alene, Coin Nuts, which is a shame, this Kevin Mitchell. I mean, he took people down for millions of dollars, and he did a short stint in jail and then was out. The money is apparently gone, but it's not. It's in Florida or the Bahamas. An investigator figured that out, but so many people will never see it again. It's sad. But just be wise. We've been here a long time. We've never had problems. We shoot straight. We're upright. It's our goal to be honest and have integrity in everything that we do. Very important. This Trump care stuff, luckily Trump had a victory today. The Supreme Court 9-0 upheld his temporary travel ban, which basically shoots down the 11th District or the 9th District Court, which is a bunch of radical socialists. And but, you know, the problem is you don't even hear the media touching on it now. It's super sad. Folks, the way that they don't report the truth is such an extraordinary level of propaganda now in this nation. We're being overtaken. Our minds are being brainwashed. The minds of our children are being brainwashed. Our children are getting all this stuff on social media. Please tell them, protect them from this. Trump care, trying to replace Obamacare. The left is spinning. Folks, I've never, ever seen or heard of a time when the left has become so heinously angry and disingenuously dishonest with, you know, every change. Obamacare is fully exploding. All the insurers have bailed out. There's like one left in a lot of states and none in some states. It's over. And the left just keeps wanting to keep it the same. They're just fools. They're absolute obstructionists, and it is wrong. It is so wrong. I read in Proverbs about mockers and scoffers, and over the Bible warns us of their evil effect. And this is what our politicians are doing. They want to exalt themselves. They want to plan to do evil. You know, the Bible, they scheme. They're foolish. It says, the devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to man. It's really, you know, it says another verse that I read this week that kind of got, I thought was cool was, it says, if you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. What it means is if you won't step up to the plate when the, if you know, if the tough doesn't get going when the going gets tough, you're pathetic is basically what the Hebrew means. You know, you need to be able to step up to the plate when the time comes. You know, you make hay while the sun's shining. If you don't have the ability to do that, when opportunity arises, you certainly can't hold other people accountable for your poor mistakes down the road. But basically, Trump care's kind of getting upheld. We've got, you know, the minimum wage stuff is proving out in Seattle to really be devastating the economy. There's been a 3% increase in the low-wage opportunities or low-wage earnings, but opportunities are down 12%. In other words, they shut down. Thanks for tuning in. I'm running late. Bye-bye.